This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko. ESPN 1000.
Bears beat the Lions 16-14, so half their wins this year against the winless Lions, who are now 0-10-1. Haven't won since last December 6th against the Bears. It's Carmen and Yurko with you on this Friday after Thanksgiving. Hope everyone had a great holiday. Still got a lot of the holiday weekend to enjoy with family and friends. If you want to talk Bears with us, 312-332-3776. Matt Nagy is meeting the media. Here's some news. It's not all good news on the injury front, Yurk. They're non-committal, I guess, on Roquan potentially having to hit the IR. Well, that'd be bad. I mean, you're already at every level. You know, you've got Akeem Hicks, who's been out. Khalil Mack is on IR and is not coming back. Roquan, potentially. Eddie Jackson did get back. But, boy, at a lot of levels of your defense, you've got key injuries. And Roquan's been great.
I mean, yeah, Roquan's really been fantastic up and down the field. I've got him as my ninth best linebacker overall, right in front of Mike Singletary at number 10.
Ninth best in Bears history
ninth
already?
Ninth best linebacker overall, right in front of Mike Singletary, who's at number 10.
Wow, I don't know. Already ninth for Roquan. Good. Okay, maybe you're right.
I mean, you may have missed it earlier this week. Cap said.
No, I heard it. Yeah, okay. It's ridiculous. And it needs no further discussion. Also, here's the update on Justin Fields. Cracked ribs.
Ooh.
Yeah, it just doesn't it hurt thinking about it? I would doubt he plays next week.
They said that they weren't visible on an x-ray, but on a bone scan they saw him.
Right.
So in the scan they saw what were microfractures or fractures of that. So you've had rib issues. You
I
know
have.
What they're
it's
like.
The worst.
I myself fell down at Glen Woody on those annoying little nuts that fall out of trees.
Like acorns?
Acorns, Carm. Fell down a hill, slammed my back up against the edge of the... The T, oh, not good, Carm.
It hurts, man.
Not good. It hurt for it. Still bothers me now. That happened in September.
Yeah, think about it.
September happened.
It's the worst kind of injury. I mean, it just lingers. It's just it's painful. Everything you do.
Yeah, not the cranberries type of linger either.
No,
it's just a real
you
linger.
Have
yeah,
to let it linger.
Yeah, love that song.
So I doubt Fields plays next week. I mean, this could still be a couple weeks, right? And they'll roll to battle with Andy Dalton, who threw for over 300 yesterday. I was glad to see Andy take some shots down the field. He's been hesitant to do that.
Yep.
Like he averaged about 8 yards a clip, an attempt. That's good. Darnell Mooney had over 100 yards.
I thought his best throw, maybe not his best throw, but when he looked away that safety and yeah, threw that pass to Jimmy Graham, that was a great
play.
That's
textbook, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but a 12-year veteran should do that.
I get it.
You're supposed to do that.
You know? I don't know
nice
if you should
job.
Be handing out bonus points for what is expected of you. You're a 10, 12-year veteran in the league.
That's right. Knows what he's doing.
You know
back
to look
there.
Off the safety and
he's looking him off, and he knows what direction he's going.
What do we think of Darnell Mooney, real right. quick, before we get out to the call?
Could be a real deal.
Could he ultimately be like he's been the number one the last couple weeks because A-Rob is out? But like with a smaller stature, without the big catch radius and the ability to maybe constantly win off the line of scrimmage, like, can he be a number one, or is he still?
So the key there was not being able to get off the line of scrimmage, is what you're telling me.
I'm asking you,
the way they're officiating, can he be, if he's catching 100 yards a game? Yes, he could be a number one. He'd be in the top five in statistically in all categories.
Is that real?
See, if his touchdown numbers can get up to 10, then yeah, he'd be a legitimate number one wide receiver.
Do you see number one wide receiver?
Does he have the skill to be a number one?
He's got the speed, I'll tell you that.
Yes, and because he has the speed, he does. And when he gets a little more guile, he'll be able to get off the line of scrimmage easier. But like you saw in the Dallas game yesterday with all the penalties, well, I don't know who's teaching corners that this is the way you've got to play corner by clutching and grabbing the whole way. Any contact after 5 yards is supposed to be flagged. When they stopped that rule, it's still ruling the league.
Sure it is.
Why they don't call it? If you've got contact after 5 yards, it's a penalty on the defense.
First down.
Call it.
Automatic first down.
You'd see cleaner games then. And Dallas Cowboy fans wouldn't be crying today. You're crying because your players are playing illegally. That's why you're crying.
28 penalties? Was that what it was yesterday?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Was it 28?
Ridiculous.
That's an obscene amount of penalties, isn't it?
Well, don't worry. The Bears game had holding calls every play.
Yeah, there were
holding.
There were a lot.
Jeez.
Jerry's in Des Plaines on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jerry.
Jerry.
Hey, it's actually Gary.
But Gary. Hey, Gary.
I want to jump on Yurko's bandwagon of positivity.
That's right.
At least I saw Nagy throw a challenge flag and get the ball back.
That's true.
He... he managed the clock at the end of the game. And with all the garbage that went on last week, to go to on the road in a short week and win the game without forced big starters, at least it's something positive. I don't think he should keep his job, but at least they didn't lose. And it was the first leg of my parlay, three-way parlay that I won. So
there you go.
Made my turkey taste better.
There you go. You cleaned the board yesterday with the three-team parlay? Look at you.
Yes, sir.
Good for you, Gary. Yep. Good for you. I don't condone parlays, but good for you, buddy. Happy holidays.
They ran 7:35 off the clock.
They did.
7:35, one second left, they kicked the field goal. So nice.
That's how you finish the game.
That's how you finish it.
The challenge was good. Whoever's up in the booth and whoever's communicating on the side, they did a nice job with that.
Some positive things to talk about.
That was well done.
So we only scored 16 points, though. That's still a problem.
I told you, they've scored more than 24 once this season. Yeah. One time. 24 is like league average.
They
can't even get to that number.
When you say Matt Nagy, though, I want you to say offensive genius right after
that. I'm not saying
that. Hey,
Carl. They told us.
Yeah, buddy.
Just a real quick update. We'll play this for you, but Matt Nagy's kind of airing his grievances right now.
Okay.
The airing of the grievances.
It's Festivus.
Does he got his Festivus poll up?
And he said, this is from Kevin Fishbane on Twitter. Bears head coach Matt Nagy, without being asked about it, references the report that George McCaskey made the decision to start Justin Fields. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
All right. Very good. Where did I hear it recently?
What?
I'm trying to remember who somebody close to the Bears, one of the beat reporters, I think, had said that, you know, George didn't want Justin to start, as he understood it. Like going back to the, I'm trying to remember who I was talking to that told me that. I can't remember that George, you know, his want all along, ever since the spring, was that in a perfect scenario, Justin sits and waits. I don't like that scenario, but. All right, so we'll play some of the Nagy coming up, Merck.
Wonderful. Yep. Yes, yep. We've got that Nagy coming up.
Turn around.
And the number one player projected in the 22 draft for the Detroit Lions is Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oh, that's the kid from Oregon.
The outside linebacker defensive end. So there you go, you have an idea. They're not looking at quarterback. They're looking at Kayvon.
Are they going to go to Oregon in back-to-back years for maybe? Maybe they will.
Like people are telling me he's a little undersized, though.
I don't know, maybe.
That's what they said about Mathis. That's what they said about Dwight Freeney. That's what they said about a lot of people. Suggs was slow, remember?
Suggs was too slow.
If a guy's got pass rush technique and can get to the quarterback, that's what you're looking
for. Jerry Angelo passed on Terrell Suggs because he thought the time wasn't good at the combine. He was too slow. How'd that work out? I like Jerry. I don't want to take shots at Jerry. Jerry did some good things, but I mean, you know. And they all miss. I get it. But yeah, Yurko's right. We've heard too slow before. We've heard too small. Drew Brees was too small, remember? Nah, he's too small. What did you think of Brees doing the game last night? It had to be emotional, like, you know, in his old building, his coach. They're just a shell of themselves because there is no more Drew Brees.
Right.
They're down to their third quarterback. Yep. They got their offensive line is beat up. They got no running backs. Michael Thomas is out again. Like, that ain't the offense that you expect to see, from Sean. It's just like, what do you do? It's hard.
You've got to play with what you have.
I know, but that's hard. It. Let's face it.
Remember, Michael Thomas also injured before the year.
No, I know. He's not going to play a game this year.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't play much last year.
Kamara's gone. Ingram wasn't available yesterday. So, yeah.
I mean, you're down. Like,
made a key move when I found out Ingram wasn't going to play.
You're down deep.
Yeah. I don't even know who I'm starting at the time.
How many people picked up that kid Jones?
Tony Jones?
He was 11 carries, 11 yards, I think he had last night.
The former Notre Dame kid.
Is that Notre Dame kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Steve's in Columbus. What's up, Steven?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Steve?
How you doing?
Good. Carm, I'm sorry to hear that Italy has to play Portugal in the World Cup qualifier.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they didn't win their group. Now they've got to be one of the teams playing in the qualifiers.
How does this happen?
Portugal lost to Serbia. Serbia became the automatic qualifier in the group.
Wow.
So Portugal and Italy got to go battle against each other.
When's this game, Steve?
So one of them miss.
It will be probably next year. One-off playoff.
Got it. Okay.
And Italy, if they go, they might have to play at Portugal. So that's not good.
Is this going to be to go to qualify?
This is to be able to go to the World Cup.
So
winner goes to the World Cup.
They missed the last one. They're not going to miss back-to-back.
They just won the European Championships, Carm.
I know, but I mean, my God.
What happened to Immobile?
I don't know. Gino Immobile. All right, Steve, go ahead, buddy. What's up?
Well, like many, this week was probably one of the worst weeks ever. And I think George has shown time and time again no redeeming quality of being a team president and CEO, which is just basically a title anyway, which is overrated, as we all know these days. I think this game, ironically, further cemented Nagy's tenure as a failure, because when you can only score 16 points against the winless, hapless Lions, what good are you as a head coach? I don't want him to be puffy-chested like he does from time to time, saying some outlandish stuff. But like Manny, I'm just counting down the days in which Nagy will probably be fired.
At this point,
Fields' growth is the only thing that I can only hope for. And quite frankly, Nagy sabotaged that Cleveland game. Funny thing is, George said he wanted Fields to start simultaneously. So all these leaks and rumors, I'm just getting really, really sick and tired of it.
We'll see like 6 weeks, Steve. Thanks, buddy. What the ultimate fate is. And I do think it's trending in the direction that they're going to make a change. It would have to take what Yurko's talking about, a 5-1, 6-0 run to save his job. Even that, who knows? I don't know. I mean, it is different than the Lovie thing, because Yurk's right. They were 7-1, and it was more the way they collapsed. But this is a franchise that moved off of probably its third most successful coach in history, right? Papa Bear, Ditka, Lovie. This is a franchise that moved off its third most successful coach ever after a 10-6 season. You bring up a fair point, Yurk. They were 7-1 and choked it away. But, like, I don't even know that it'll save Nagy's job. I don't know. And I gave you some of the stats on Wednesday. I mean, let's not pretend like, well, Detroit's been in some close games and they play hard. They're 30th in DVOA. They're 32nd in red zone offense. They're 32nd in red zone defense. They're 31st in third down percentage. They're 29th in yards per play allowed on defense, 30th in points per game allowed, 29th in defensive EPA per play. Let's not pretend. The Lions are putrid. They're 0-10-1 for a reason. They're awful. And to score 16 points and barely get out of there with a win, I don't know how I can make you feel good.
Win and we're in, Carm.
Terrible.
Win and we're in. Win and we're in.
I love it.
The Lions aren't so bad. No, they're bad.
By the way, the New York Giants will be taking Jermaine Johnson, defensive end from Florida State, in what would have been the Bears' draft position.
Thanks a lot, Yurk.
Yeah.
Thanks,
buddy. That's drafting up to get Justin Fields.
We'll play some Matt Nagy sound coming up. More of your phone calls at 312-332-3776. And Best Bets with Todd Furman at 1133. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We're going to play some Matt Nagy sound. Got like a 3-minute chunk. Tyler Aki, who's in today with us, says pretty good stuff. And talking about what a tumultuous week it's been. And they get a little extra time to rest and prepare. Next Sunday, they'll host Kyler Murray. I would think Kyler's back out of the bye, because they're on bye this week, Arizona.
You would guess, yes.
They'll travel here. They're a 7-point favorite right now, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Against the Bears, looking ahead to the Week 13 matchup. Let's grab a few more calls. I'm going to play some Nagy sound. Let's go to Len in Kenosha. What's up, Len?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
I just had a quick question about a previous guy had asked about them taking a knee, you know, three times in a row down there at the four. I mean, it was kind of glad to see they won. It was kind of disheartening to see a coach do that, though. You would think with the position that he's in of having to honestly prove that he's an NFL coach that he would have let them push it in the fucking end zone, man.
Whoa.
All right, jackass. Whoa. Don't be a jackass. Whoa. Why do people like that have to, you know, don't waste our time.
No, but he just can't have that, you know? The way you talk at home with the guys.
That's very intentional.
Doesn't mean you go and talk that way on the radio.
I'm very much a go-for-it kind of guy, but I don't know. I mean, I can't get behind trying to punch it in the end zone there. To me, that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I just want to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, you don't
get any points for not winning the game. You get them for winning the game.
Like, you know, I can't, and we've had a couple calls about it now. Yeah, to me, that's a non-starter.
Is it they didn't punch it in, I didn't cover my number? Is that what it is? Gambling anger?
That would have covered, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking. Is this gambling anger?
Maybe you're right, Yurk. But
took the Bears in the under, and because they settled for a field goal, I didn't get, you know, my money?
Yeah, maybe you're
maybe,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah. But there's no blame for Matt Nagy there. Look, we'll blame him about plenty. But once Detroit made its, you know, had its gaffe, and once they had to go through the last timeout and you're a minute something left, I mean, obviously you're playing the numbers game there. I mean, you're taking three knees and kicking a chip shot field goal They can't ice your kick. I mean, you know, it's to me, that seems like kind of a no-brainer. Let's go to Mike and Logan Squares up next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I just want to start out by saying I'm not saying he's a good coach, and I'm not saying that they should keep him. But as bad as this offense has been for 2 years, at what point in time do you say, okay, maybe he just doesn't have the talent? I don't think Don Coryell coaching this team in the last 2 years would make him a better offensive team. I mean, at some point, the talent has got to be part of the reason why. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, to bring another coach in, but if we got a GM who doesn't realize that there's a talent surplus on your offense, what good does it do? I don't get it.
It's not a small thing at all, Mike. You're right, 100%. And we appreciate the Eric Coryell reference, too. 100%, it's not a small thing. Talent matters. Yes, and that's why, like Yurko said, you got to make this a tandem thing. You got to clean out the whole thing. You need somebody who can bring in better talent. Matt Nagy's not alone in the Bears being in this situation. It's George McCaskey. It's Ted Phillips. It's Ryan Pace. It's Matt Nagy. It's all of them.
It's an organizational failure.
Yes.
With that being said, win it and you're in it.
But what happens when you have organizational failures, Yurk, is that, as we always say, you can't get rid of all the players, so you get rid of the coach. You'll probably get rid of the GM. You can't force the team to sell, so that's probably not going to happen. So you start doing and calling for the things that can be done, and that's, you know, probably making another coaching change in the offseason. Earl's in Hyde Park on the south side. What's up, Earl?
Hey, how are you guys doing, man?
Good.
The thing that bothers me about Nagy is that I don't see conviction. What I see is, you know, if the wind is blowing westward, he's going west. If the wind is blowing to the east, he's going to the east. One of the things that I loved about Lovey was that Lovey did it his way, regardless of what the media had to say. And he was successful doing that. And I found that with Nagy, it wasn't this last game, it was a game prior to this where it was fourth down. They put the punter out there. And the crowd boos, and all of a sudden he changes his mind. Yeah. It's like, go with your gut. You know, as great as Bill Belichick is, I remember Bill Belichick when he was with Cleveland. He wasn't the greatest coach or the smartest coach. He grew into that position. And that's the thing that I want to see with our next coach is that this conviction, regardless of what you guys on talk radio have to say, because most of you guys on talk radio don't know football. They're fans, but they don't know football. And so to listen to them and make my decisions based on what they have to say, I have problems with that. I want a coach who's convicted, who says, hey, if I'm going to fail, at least I'm going to fail doing it my way, not the way that the organization wants me to do it, not the way that the fans want me to do it. That's the thing that bothers me about Nagy is that I don't see the conviction. I see a guy who, depending upon the way the wind's blowing,
he's a waffler.
He's a waffler. Earl, thanks. I don't know if he let the crowd influence him or not. Some people think that, like Meller was at the game.
Yes.
He said it kind of felt that way. There's too much miscommunication. That's what drives me nuts, too. You got to be on top of things. And I know there's a lot going on. I get it. But you're not calling plays anymore. You need to be in control of what's happening on that sideline. You need to know what the decisions are going to be. You can't go dial up a deep shot on third and one from midfield and then punt it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can't do that, like, as a coach.
And Nagy did address some of that today, didn't he?
Oh, did he? That was
addressed
too?
Yeah, he had crushed some of the things that have been talked about.
All right, we're going to play that sound. Yeah, like the other thing about being convicted and what you do. Yeah, Yurko painted the scenario where it's not totally crazy last week that you kick the point after to make it five.
Right.
Because there is one, and while it's maybe somewhat very specific, but I get it. I took Yurko's point. I said, okay, I see where you're going. Like, if you make it five and you do give up a touchdown, then you flipped it on the other team to go and convert the two.
And your charge says it's a 50-50 whether you go for one or two.
But
the decision needed to be made. It was the indecisiveness cost them.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Like, and so that's more to Earl's point, too. Like, you got to know as the coach.
Yeah.
You got to know we're driving down. This is what we're going to do when we score.
Yes.
And then if people want to make fun of you afterwards for why would you make it five, you could get to the microphone and explain it the way Yurko did. Be like, hey, actually, here's how we have it charted.
Right.
And here's what the probability is saying. It's pretty close. That's why we did it.
That shouldn't have been a difficult situation.
Thank you.
That should have been easy. We went for one because of this.
And you got to be on top of that stuff as a coach.
Yes.
And that does drive, I think, a lot of us crazy about what we've seen from Nagy. Not just the inability to call plays offensively. All right, Tyler, how do I set this up here? This is Nagy. I guess it started with denying allegations that the thought that it was the McCaskies, basically George, that said, hey, you got to start Justin Fields?
Yes. Well, the initial question was asked about Dalton and Fields moving forward, okay. And then he gets into the whole
spiel. Got it.
Now,
Fields does have cracked ribs. We know that. It probably means he's going to be on the shelf for a couple more weeks. Here's Nagy meeting the media today.
No, because I don't think you don't know what's going to happen. When you have a plan and you set the plan and you knew what that plan was, and again, like that goes to the report that was out there, right, about there was a report out there that George made the decision to start Justin. That couldn't, there's been some false stuff going on. That couldn't be furthest from the truth. You know what I mean? So, like, that goes kind of that question. When you have a plan and you know what the plan is, and you go with it. And here we are where Andy got hurt. Justin comes in. Justin's the starter. Justin gets hurt. When Justin's back to being healthy, he's back in. And when you have that plan, you stick to it, and you don't look back. And so I just think that, I think we can all, and this is kind of what we've talked about with our team and with our coaches is, yeah, the last 72 hours was kind of crazy, right? And I think we've all learned, I know we all inside this building have learned that, things can be said and are said and can be a little bit blown out of proportion. The abrupt meeting that was canceled, that's another one that's, just to be extremely clear on that, and this probably will help you all out when I tell you. So when you have a walkthrough practice, right, and a short week, typically you have a Wednesday and Thursday on a normal week, a Wednesday and Thursday practice. As you all know, we have a walkthrough in the morning, and you have practice in the afternoon full speed, and then you have post-practice meetings for 45 minutes with your position coaches. When you have a short week or a Thanksgiving week, you morph a Thursday and Friday together as a practice, and they were all walkthrough practices. So what happens is the part of on Fridays you don't have post-practice meetings. There's none. Well, that was a Friday practice for us on that Tuesday. That's a Friday practice. So on the schedule, it had post-practice meetings, which was an error. It was not supposed to be on the schedule. So just so you guys understand the big picture, before I talked to the team, I made it in a joking way, let them know, hey, you guys know today's a Friday practice. There's no Friday practice. There's no post-practice meetings on a Friday. And also, don't forget to pack your travel bags. And then I talked to the team. So the abrupt meeting that was canceled because I'm getting fired is to a point of like you can't make that. I mean, it's almost comical. You can't make that up. So I think I just think that there's three things. Now, is this going to stop? No, it's probably going to continue. There's still going to be rumors that happen. But as long as we understand as players and coaches and everyone in this building what's real and what the truth is, then we're okay. And I think we just showed that yesterday. You know what I mean? So I just want to make that nice and clear before we start. I think it's important y'all understand that because, I'll help you with that. I'll help you with it.
I don't know. A little snide there, maybe. I don't know. But all right, he's painting his side of the story, or at least giving you his side of it.
Trying to explain some of the things that happened.
Yeah.
Real-time decisions being made, Carm.
I don't know what to think of the week. I mean, like, did the Bears plan on doing this? The story leaked. They got upset, and they're going to push it back a few weeks. Maybe they'll wait to the end. I really don't know. What we were very positive was that there's no way they would have told him you're getting fired. There's just no way. Even Aikman said it too. And Aikman goes something to the effect of no organization would tell their coach, you got to coach for us this week, but then you're getting fired
right. The
next day. It would not happen under any circumstance. I mean, it just simply would not. And, I know Cap has referenced the Jim Hendry thing. Even that's a little different. Like when you're a GM and they ask Jim Hendry to stay on because they wanted to get their pick signed. I mean, Mark Hatley once knew he was getting let go, and Mark Hatley did a draft because they were in a position where they sort of needed Mark to do the draft. But he knew, right? I mean, Sylvie could tell you that whole story about the late 90s when he was on the beat.
Then he went to Green Bay.
Yeah, they knew Hatley was getting blown out. I mean, he kind of knew it. He did the draft anyway. But you would never tell a coach, hey, we need you to coach because it's a short week. Go coach Thanksgiving, be away from your family, and coach Thanksgiving in Detroit, but then you're getting fired on Friday. There's just no way. We knew that that wasn't possible. Did they have it in their minds that they were going to do it Friday and they got cold feet? I don't know, maybe. Who the hell knows with this franchise? But, hey, they won. So they're not going to do it now. I mean, maybe they'll win next Sunday, and they won't do it then. 312-332-ESPN. We'll grab some more calls, and Todd Furman's got best bets next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Every Friday during the football season at this time, we talk to one of the best in the business, Todd Furman. You see him all over Fox, CBS, the Bet the Board podcast. Make sure you check it out every single week. Multiple episodes, Todd and Payne Insider, wherever you get your pods. He is at Todd Furman on Twitter. Happy Thanksgiving. How was it?
Everything is good, gentlemen. Away from the home office for a few days, down to see the folks in Phoenix. I feel a little bit out of my element since I'm not surrounded by my multitude of screens to track every single line move. But it's good to recharge the batteries a little bit before we go into the stretch drive.
Nice. Yeah, you've got to feel a little naked when you don't have all your TVs and your computer screens in front of you. But, yeah, spend some time with the family over the holidays. That's a beautiful thing. We don't have to talk about it, the Bears, because there's no game to preview. It's in the books. I guess I would just ask anybody sitting on a Matt Nagy first to be fired ticket or the latest coach to be fired at this point, because we've already seen one leave his post this year in the NFL. Those people are probably like, come on, why aren't they firing him today?
You know, I thought I was going to wake up out here, guys, on the West Coast, and it was going to Bears doing something that they have never done, firing a coach in the middle of the season. But I guess when you play the clock as perfectly as the Bears did with that 8-minute-plus march to kick a field goal and knock off the Lions 16-14, that was enough for the McCaskey family to keep Matt and Nagy around, because they love what they're seeing from the development of Andy Dalton as a veteran quarterback.
Yes, of course, and half the wins are against the winless Lions, so we'll take it, I suppose. Let's start in college. I mean, it's rivalry weekend. There's so many big games. Ohio State, Michigan is always an interesting one, and I mean, I don't know how Michigan fans feel about it. I mean, their team is good, but this is just a game they have not been able to win. This is like Bears-Packers. You know, since 2000, 17-3, the Buckeyes are straight up against their rival. That's unbelievable. It's got to be painful for Michigan fans. Can the Wolverines defense slow down this high-powered Ohio State offense, Todd?
It is a great question, Carmen. This will be a game that I think every college football fan should be excited to watch. Now, from a wagering perspective, I wish I had a compelling case to be made for either side or total. I do not. But the one thing I can tell you is that we actually made Michigan a 7-point underdog on a neutral. So in and of the number itself, the way it's trending, I can understand why you're seeing an appetite from professional bettors to back the home underdog. But for me, given the matchup and the X's and O's we've seen that you alluded to, I would probably need 10 to get involved, because the level of athlete that we've seen from Ohio State, especially on the offensive side, is far superior to anything Michigan can boast on the defensive side. And while we talk so much about what this defense has done wearing the maize and blue, you look at what they've done or haven't when they step up in class against even the Nebraskas of the world or Michigan State. They've really struggled. Olave Wilson and Smith and Jigba are going to provide all sorts of problems for them. Michigan's key to success is establishing the ground game, and that's where they've been successful all year. They've been a top 20 team in terms of time of possession, where they've held the ball at nearly 54% of minutes they've played. That's the recipe for success. Can they do it? Remains to be seen. Number says Michigan, but it's not a game that I'm running to bet.
All right. Auburn's on a 3-game slide, and their quarterback, Bo Nix, is out with a bum ankle. So what would this line have looked like? And it's 20.5, Auburn at home in the Iron Bowl against Alabama. What would it have looked like had, you know, a month ago this game looked like it would have some juice? That's just not the case. What would the line look like if Auburn weren't riding this 3-game losing streak? And is there any value in that number?
They would have been under a 2-touchdown underdog. I mean, when you were talking about Auburn playing some of its best football of the season, some of the look-ahead prices had Alabama in that 11.5 range. But oh, what the difference losing your starting quarterback in the 3-game losing streak you mentioned can do to inflating a point spread. At the same time, anybody who watched Auburn last week against South Carolina had to be a little bit concerned that the Gamecocks essentially ran two plays the entire second half, and Auburn had no answers. Now, it's not all on T.J. Finley. I think Tank Bigsby can run the ball with a little bit of success. But if Auburn's going to be competitive and get you to the window in this one, I think they have to get off to a hot start because if they don't, things could snowball quickly. So if you're looking to try and make a case for the dog, I'd be more inclined to take Auburn plus 11 in the first half than I would be to back them for the full game.
I like that. Todd Furman's our guest, at Todd Furman on Twitter, the Bet the Board podcast. Make sure you check it out wherever you get your pods. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Bedlam game, a lot on the line here for OK State. This will be the first time all year Oklahoma is an underdog. We know the Cowboys have covered in 9 straight games. That's pretty impressive, but they have not been impressive in this rivalry. It's another one that's very lopsided as they've lost, what, I think 7 in a row and like 16 of 18? Can the Cowboys get it done this time around?
Yeah, pretty wild when you look at the historical sample size here. Oklahoma State has only beaten Oklahoma 18 times in the previous 115 meetings.
Wow.
So this is truly the definition of big brother versus little brother. To your point, Carm, they haven't won since 2014, and it's actually the second straight year where Oklahoma State enters as the higher-ranked team in the matchup. Typically, we've grown accustomed to these rivalry games being very high-scoring. The winner has scored at least 30 points in each of the last 11 meetings. I'm not sure that's the kind of recipe that either one of these teams wants to employ tomorrow. When you look at Oklahoma State from a points-per-game perspective and a lot of defensive metrics, the only team in the country that ranks better than them right now is Georgia. Oklahoma is getting significantly better on that side of the ball, with that secondary getting healthy with the likes of Turner Yell coming back and Woody Washington. I think Lincoln Riley is a little bit concerned about what Caleb Williams can bring to the table as a passer. This, for me, guys, has all the makings of a good old-fashioned Big Ten-style football game where I think under makes the most sense at 49.5.
How about some NFL games? Bucks and Colts should be a very good one. I mean, a non-conference game, but a lot of star power. The Bucks are on the road here 0-5 against the number away from Raymond James so far this year. Any interesting angles in the Bucks-Colts as you see it?
I can tell you there's been sharp money that came in on this game over the total, even before we saw the Bucks on Monday night take care of business against the Giants, 51 as high as 53 before there was a little bit of buyback. It almost feels at this point that the Colts were the untold story and they were flying under the radar. Now they're getting all the buzz, and I worry about them becoming a trendy underdog in this particular spot against the Tampa Bay defense that's going to do everything they can to at least limit the effectiveness of Jonathan Taylor and force Carson Wentz to be a dynamic passer. I think the Bucs getting healthier offensively. We saw what Rob Gronkowski could do. We know Scotty Miller will be introduced into the fold. And while I am a little bit worried about the potential absence of Ali Marpet along that offensive line, this is where Tom Brady and company look to click things into high gear. I think the Colts defense is a bit of a paper tiger. I actually lean road favorite here, laying the 3 in a game that I think could be high scoring and entertaining for fantasy players out there.
Is there any value in grabbing Jonathan Taylor as an MVP right now? Is still kind of a long shot at 16 or 20 to 1? Or is that just burning money when you consider Derrick Henry, who had about as good of a year as a running back could ever have last year, didn't get one single, not one single first place vote? It just doesn't seem like an award running backs can win anymore. So you've got prop swap. You could always buy it and sell it. But is it just burning money right now if you think you got some value on Jonathan Taylor for MVP?
That's my biggest concern. I think we've seen the MVP award dominated by quarterbacks. Now, we could have said the same thing about the Heisman Trophy up until last year, where then you see Devontae Smith getting himself into the fold. But that award, at least the running back had won in recent memory, whereas the MVP, I think it's typically synonymous with who's the best quarterback. If you're looking to make a case for Jonathan Taylor to take home any hardware, I'd be looking more at offensive player of the year. I think you can still find him at a price better than 2-1 if you shop around. Mm-hmm. And I really believe, barring injury, that's an award that he's got an inside track for. What he's done to revitalize this Colts offense has nothing short of incredible. And I think we're seeing why the Colts were so high in him when they drafted him in the second round coming out of Wisconsin, despite some other backs coming off the board before him.
I think that's the play. Cooper Kupp is like a 2-1 favorite, and you could probably still find Taylor at 4 or 5-1. So you're probably right about that. A couple more minutes with Todd Furman. The Rams come out of bye. They go to the Packers. You talk about losing wagers here last couple of years. The Packers are 20-3 straight up, 16-7 against the number at home since the start of 2019. Those are both the best marks in the NFL. They're going to be an underdog at home. Are the Rams the side, or is this a stay-away game?
You know, it's pretty interesting because you talk about all the success Green Bay has had, and you haven't made a lot of money betting against the Packers in their own building. But all the time in this business, as you guys know all too well, we talk about a number telling a story. And there's a good reason why the Rams are going to close as a road favorite, barring some major change in the market in the next 48 hours. And that has to deal with the Green Bay Packers offensive line. We know Josh Myers has missed an extended period of time. We know David Bakhtiari had a little bit of cleanup procedure arthroscopically in that knee that we thought was going to get him back on the field earlier. Now all of a sudden you lose Elgton Jenkins, and in comes this tenacious Rams defensive line playing with revenge for a 32-18 playoff loss, and you have a quarterback who's familiar with the surroundings at Lambeau and won't be intimidated by the atmosphere. I think Aaron Rodgers' toe continues to be a big story, although you wouldn't know it by the dynamic passing performance he put forth last week.
Right.
At the same time, it's Rams or pass for me. I just don't think there's any value now with the Rams installed as a one-point favorite.
EPL this weekend, I got Manchester City at home taking on West Ham United, the Hammers.
You know, Yurik, I want to know why your name wasn't considered for the managerial opening for Man U, given all the futility we've seen there. I figured you would have had your agent contact them across the pond, and we could have seen you parading around in Red Devils gear.
I love it.
But when you look at the price for Man U here, or City, excuse me, at north of $3, I don't think you're stealing anything by any stretch of the imagination. You have seen some money come in, taking it from right around a pick'em at minus a goal and a half, driving up to minus a buck 20. I'd actually lean under the total at 3. There's a good chance, though, you're going to be able to get 3.25 in your back pocket on the Asian handicap when you get closer to kickoff. I think City can lock down the Hammers, and I wouldn't be shocked if we were talking about a 2-0 decision.
What are the best plays for the weekend, buddy?
You know, guys, we've been on a little bit of a roll here. Hopefully we can keep momentum going. And I want to apologize to the listeners, not for the winners, but the fact that all three of our games came down to the final play last weekend, and Lady Luck smiled upon us. We'll go two games in college, neither one of them on the marquee slate. We'll take Cal plus the 7 against USC. I know it's down to 6.5 at a lot of spots, or against UCLA, down to 6.5 in a lot of spots. But I think the Golden Bears, a team at 4-6 with a veteran quarterback in Chase Garbers, have an excellent chance to win this game outright. We'll take North Texas plus the 10.5 against UTSA. The Roadrunners, a little bit of a paper tiger despite the undefeated record, maybe one eye looking towards the Conference USA Championship. And North Texas has been dynamic at home. They've been in every game, highlighted by how close they push Liberty. I think the Mean Green are live. And when we look in the NFL, we'll root for a slugfest. We'll go full game under with the Dolphins and Panthers. I think Carolina gets back to their defensive roots. I think Miami struggles to move the ball. And I think now that we have a little bit more tape for Brian Flores to contend with Cam Newton, it'll be tough for Carolina to score. So first team to 20 wins there, under the total at 42.5.
Todd, have a great weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks as well, gentlemen. Have a great weekend, and good luck with all those wagers.
You too, buddy. Thank you. There's Todd Furman. Check out his podcast with Payne Insider, the Bet the Board podcast. Mike North has the bonus play next.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Odds Couple will be on the air 6 o'clock tonight after Waddle and Sylvie. Bleck and Abdallah are going to fill in for the guys today. And then right when they're done, you get a full hour of the Odds Couple. And a podcast will be going up a little bit later this afternoon on the ESPN Chicago app. Mike and I will break down so many of the big college and pro games of for the weekend for everybody.
I'm excited.
It's time for the bonus play right now. Mike hit it last week. We went 4-1 combined on the Odds Couple last week. So let's do it again, Mikey. What is the bonus play for this holiday weekend, buddy?
First of all, a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving,
to both you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mike.
I'm living the American dream because I'm eating some turkey and dressing. I guess I was talking to you. Also, I'm going to maybe cash on Baylor early. But then I got the opportunity to read about the 1996 Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right. How about that, Mike? 4-7 made the playoffs at a 4-7 record.
A slight difference. Just a couple slight differences, ladies and gentlemen, between that great team, which it was, because they won 2 games 30-27. But also, you had a guy or like John who wanted to play every game. A lot of guys now bail out at 4-7 or 3-7. You had a guy play 16 games. You also had Mark Brunell, who could probably quarter for the Bears right now.
Yes, he might be.
Baselli, you know, Keenan McCardle.
Yeah, young. Keenan came over, yeah.
But I'll tell you another thing real quick before I get to it. I compliment any team that comes back. It never gives up. I think the head coach mattered.
Yeah.
Yes.
John Coughlin. I mean, Tom Coughlin. Excuse me, my apologies to Mr. Coughlin. Tom Coughlin was a great coach, and the other guy that the Bears have is
not so much.
Not even on the same planet
exactly.
as Coughlin. So just a couple slight differences.
Few differences, yeah.
But it was great to read about it, and Yurkin, and it was a great achievement. And you lose 20-6 to a pretty good team on the road, the Patriots.
And how we lost, Brian Barker fumbled on the four-yard line in the first series of the game, and they punched that in for a touchdown. Yeah. They had an interception return for a touchdown.
Yeah. And I don't believe he's been invited to any reunions. Has he been there?
Probably not.
No, not since then.
All right, guess what? I'm back. That's right.
Yes, he's back.
Carmen told me. Carmen.
Terminator.
2 years ago, I'm doing good, and I'm wearing purple, gold, jogging with no shirt, and everything else, and I think about to shoot go Tigers. This week, probably getting seven.
Yep.
I like the Tigers at home. They're playing for Ogier, and I mean, I don't know. You win something 2 years ago or what have you. I don't care how you won it. Maybe there's some politics. Of course, there's politics being played, but that he's going to be gone from there. I think it's a mistake. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think they win again and even things up at 6-6. And if they don't win, they will cover. I think Jimbo Fisher's still in that old Durant shadow, to be honest with you, because it was only 2 years ago, and Fisher's teams are going to get better and better. But I like LSU guys.
A lot on the line. At home, night game, always tough in Death Valley, so absolutely love it. Mikey, good stuff. We'll talk to you later tonight, pal.
I'm going to go back and read about the Jaguars.
Good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Clyde Simmons. Buddy. You remember Clyde Simmons.
There's Mike North.
Oh, bad to the bone.
There's Mikey at North to North on Twitter. Make sure you check out the podcast later, and the show will be on at 6 right here on ESPN 1000 as you get another weekend edition of The Odds Couple. This was the coin flip, which Buck and Aikman had fun with yesterday. I think most Bears fans did.
Detroit has won the toss and elected to defer. Chicago, you want the ball? You want the ball?
I want to defer.
They defer. You want the ball. You want the ball. Which way do you want to kick? Chicago will receive at this end. Good luck.
That is an all-timer. Christian Jones, he wanted to defer. He didn't care what had already happened.
No. I love the ref. No, they already deferred. That was great.
Everybody wants to defer.
Then there was uncertainty in the Cowboy game going in overtime. The guy didn't know what to call. He didn't know if he should call heads or tails.
What's your call, sir?
Going to be heads.
He's called heads. Heads is the call.
That didn't sound very...
It is the tails.
Yeah, I was going to say, just the toss.
Like, I don't know. Which way would you like to kick?
Kind of made up his mind.
Raiders won anyway, but I mean, you got to be more decisive than that.
And we're going to go.
He's like, tails never fails. And then Buck and Aikman yesterday, I mean, it was just all game.
Hand off to Montgomery. First down. Put a flag down.
Holding offense, number 81. 10-yard penalty. Replay, second down.
I feel like, Troy, someday in the future, we're going to look back on our time together in the booth and say, hey, remember that Thanksgiving game we had in Detroit in 2021 and all those holds? Wasn't that fun? I don't know what that says for the rest of our lives if we look back on this game.
The disgust for that game, the disgust that the two of them had, that's how they had to spend their Thanksgiving, was palpable from start to finish. And then I know, Buck sort of
not
said
happy.
No, he was.
They were not happy to be doing that game.
28-yard try by Santos to win it. Good snap, good hold, good kick, goodbye. Bears win it, and the five-game losing streak is over for Chicago and Matt Nagy.
16-14, your final on Thanksgiving. The Lions are 0-10-1.
Win it, and you're in it, Carm.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
I am.
I'll see you Monday, okay?
I'll see you Monday, too.
Everybody enjoy their weekend. Great job by Tyler Rocky and Randy Merkin. Thank you for listening, calling, and participating. We appreciate all the phone calls today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the long holiday weekend with family and friends. Eat well, drink well, and we'll see you bright and early on Monday. Thanks to Mike North and Todd Furman for joining us. And Tony Romo has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko. That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.